Is mental illness to be treated as a purely material problem? Or is mind disease spiritual only, with no legitimate role for psychiatric drugs? Or is there a third option? That's the topic today on Mind Matters.
Welcome to Mind Matters News, where artificial and natural intelligence meet head on. Here's your host, Robert J. Marks.
I'm your guest host today, Mike Keyes. To help us investigate these questions about mental health, we have invited philosopher J.P. Moreland to discuss his book, Finding Quiet, which released in May 2019. Welcome to the show, J.P.
Thank you, Michael, for having me. It's always a treasure.
J.P. Moreland is Distinguished Professor of Philosophy at Biola University, and he's authored, edited, or contributed papers to about 100 books, including Naturalism, A Critical Analysis, and Body and Soul, Human Nature and the Crisis in Ethics. So just to set the stage for our conversation, J.P., from the publisher's information, I read that in 2004, you woke up in the middle of the night to a severe panic attack. Though often anxious by temperament and upbringing, you never had an experience like that before, and thus you began a battle with anxiety and depression. You wrote a book about this. Why?
Well, it was actually 2003.
Okay.
They got wrong in the publicity. But I was born, Michael, with a genetic predisposition to anxiety. It ran on my mother's side of the family all over the side. That doesn't mean I was determined to have that, but I was just inclined toward it. And I've always had a high energy and a little anxiety, and now and then I'd have a little depression. But it was within the realm of normal until 2003, and I literally had a nervous breakdown for 7 months. I'd started at the end of the school year. I'd had unbelievable stress that year. And for 7 months, I was having panic attacks, depression. There was electricity in my body. I couldn't get rid of it. I was irrational. I was afraid of the phone ringing, afraid to look at my email. For a month, I was curled up in a fetal position on my couch. It was terrible. And so eventually I got okay. I got well. But it happened again 10 years later in 2013 for 5 months, exactly the same thing. So I decided that I was going to, with God's help, I didn't want this to ever happen again. So I read everything in sight on this. And I filtered down the things that I thought were the most important information I learned about how to get rid of anxiety and depression from spiritual formation literature, from psychology, from scripture, and so on. And I boiled it down to a set of practices that are in the book. And the reason I wrote the book is because I don't want to waste my own suffering. I have suffered terribly with anxiety and depression, and I've learned some things that have helped me, and I want other people to benefit from what I've learned.
Wow, that is a gripping story, and for you especially, having been in the interior of the story. But now I guess we can read it as third-person observers and kind of come alongside you, and maybe we can learn some things from you. So thanks for writing it up, JP.
Well, you're welcome, my friend.
So why are many people of faith reluctant or opposed to taking psychiatric drugs to help treat mental illnesses?
I think a lot of people believe that they're not being, they don't have enough faith. They're dishonoring God because they ought to be able to rejoice in the Lord, and we're commanded to, pray and let your requests be made known, and you want to be anxious any longer, and all those teachings make us think that, well, gosh, I should be able to rely upon the Lord alone and get well. But what people are, what I do in chapter two of the book is I lay out a very careful model of what it is to be a human being. And I show that we are a unity of body, soul, and spirit, and mind, and emotions, and will. And they all affect one another. And so if my brain is damaged and it's not producing the kind of chemicals that it needs to help me have a good mood, then medication is like oiling the engine or vitamins for your brain. And it restores your brain to a balance so that you have a fighting chance now to deal with anxiety and depression through your spiritual life and your counseling. But some people are so, I was in such bad shape that I needed medication. And I highly recommend that people try this because there's nothing wrong with doing, it's not unspiritual to do so. Because we're not just souls, we have bodies too.
So that sounds like part of your response to the hesitancy that many people of faith have about the practice of taking psychiatric drugs. And it sounds like you've framed it in part by saying, well, as humans, we're material, but we're also non-material. They're both there.
That's right. That's right.
And so are you asking for a more balanced perspective on this? You know,
I'm looking for a more holistic.
Okay.
So that I don't think of myself as a disembodied spirit. I am a soul that is embodied. And guess what? If my body isn't working, my soul won't work. And if my soul does certain things, I can change my brain and restructure it so that I don't have anxiety. It's very interesting. I spell all this out in the book, and I make a very, very biblically based case for the appropriate use of medications. And Michael, one more thing, I would never recommend that someone just use medications.
Right.
I think you ought to develop a whole attack on anxiety and depression. You ought to use spiritual tools. You ought to use psychological tools. And you ought to use physical or medical tools if they help. So that's my holistic approach based on my biblical anthropology.
Right. Now, initially, I kind of pitched a question to you like, well, there's people of faith are reluctant to take drugs, but let's flip it to the other side. Suppose someone wants to say, well, the human person is just a complicated arrangement of matter. So why do you think that there really is a non-material soul that exists in conjunction with the human body? And what difference does this make for treating mental illnesses?
Well, there has to be a soul because I have free will and I'm responsible for my choices. But if I'm just a material object like my brain and body, my brain and body is determined by the laws of physics and chemistry, and there's no thing in me that could exercise free will. In addition, my body is constantly gaining parts and losing parts, and so it's not the same object over time because you can't take a physical object and change its parts, and it still literally be the same thing. But I know I'm the same thing from one moment to the next because I'm aware of myself as enduring through time. So I can't be my body. I must be something else, and that thing must be a soul. I could give you other reasons,
right?
But there are several. And the idea that we have a soul is absolutely crucial because if it has been proven that if I exercise my free will and choose to direct my thinking in a certain way, that after 2 to 3 weeks, I can literally restructure my brain so that it is healthy instead of sick and damaged. And that's why, do you remember in Romans 6, Paul tells us to present the members of our body that's the organs of our body, our stomach, lungs, and so on, to God as instruments of righteousness instead of instruments of unrighteousness. Now, what does he mean? Well, to present a member of your body means to take that body part and practice something over and over and over again until that body part gains new grooves and loses the old grooves, like fasting over and over again. And in my book, I explain that the two main organs that we're to present to God in anxiety and depression are the brain and the heart muscle, because they contain neuron grooves that automatically trigger anxiety and depression because they're habits. We formed habits in doing that. And those habits are triggers in our brain and our heart that automatically trigger anxiety and depression. And what we have to do is get rid of those ingrained habits and replace them with new ingrained habits that automatically trigger peace and joy. And that requires repetitive exercises using your mind to change your brain. And that's why the soul is so important, because you can reconfigure your body by using your free will and by using your thoughts to do so. And that's crucial to understand.
Well, it sounds like some very foundational issues that are of great relevance to the overall theme of Mind Matters. Because notice in the very title of our podcast series, Mind Matters, you have both the immaterial and the material. And that seems to be a thread that goes through your book. So let's stop there and continue this conversation in another episode. I think that gives us a great foundation from which to launch into some other interesting questions. So thanks, JP, for this fascinating conversation about Mind Matters. And we'll continue our conversation in a subsequent episode. Meanwhile, listeners may wish to go to Amazon to find J.P. Moreland's excellent book, Finding Quiet. And I'm your guest host today, Mike Keyes. Thanks for joining us on Mind Matters.
This has been Mind Matters News with your host, Robert J. Marks. Explore more at mindmatters.ai. That's mindmatters.ai. Mind Matters News is directed and edited by Austin Egbert. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the speakers. Mind Matters News is produced and copyrighted by the Walter Bradley Center for Natural and Artificial Intelligence at Discovery Institute.